happening here. Nothing relating to the Ravens. Here to talk about that and more. Joins us every Tuesday from USA Today, Ravens Wire on the Window Nation guest hotline. Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, first of all, good morning. How are you feeling today? Turning up Tuesday.
Feeling good. Yeah, you know, I've been trying to keep up with all these games that they're dropping early. It feels like, you know, 5 years from now, we're going to be having a game drop every day of the month before the actual schedule gets released. So looks like the Ravens aren't going abroad, but we'll see their full schedule tomorrow.
Now, in regards to the kicker competition, we know they drafted Tyler Loop. We've talked about that out of Arizona. But John Hoyland out of Wyoming, he was brought in undrafted free agent who really good, it seems, looking at his stats inside the 40. Outside the 40, especially outside the 50, not so much. It's Justin Tucker. I saw a video of him working out at a park here locally. Ravens are replacing him. So how much more competition should Loop be getting here as we creep closer and closer to minicamp and training camp and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I think it is competition, but it would have to be a catastrophic preseason and training camp for Loop to lose that job. And Hoyland would have to be pretty perfect. I mean, I'm not saying that it's impossible, but I would probably imagine that this is the kicker they're going to put on their practice squad. And there are still veterans available, where I think the conversations that we had last season, especially when Tucker was going through his struggles, it was, well, is there someone else out there, a veteran that you could trust over Tucker's resume and Tucker's leg and Tucker's ability to hit the ball from 50 plus? And the answer was a resounding no. It just kind of felt like, yeah, he's struggling. He's really going through it. But who else out there? It was like Randy Bullock and others. But it's a little different this year, where it feels like, you know, if Loop struggles, or, you know, Hoyland is the one that somehow wins the job and he struggles, it feels like, again, Baltimore is a lot less committed to those guys. And, you know, you can argue for other guys over them. So I think that, you know, it's competition, certainly. And I think it's good to always have that competition. Both guys will push each other. But I think that this will probably be the kicker that they put on their practice squad, and Loop will win the job still. But again, you never know until it happens. So we'll see.
I would think, Kevin, that what I could see is if Loop struggles, you know, during preseason games or whatever, final cutdown is, you know, because every team goes in with two or three kickers. So that's when all the excess and you know, the Ravens scouts will be out there evaluating all the kickers on everybody's rosters, you know, just to see. But Hoyland, he didn't have a leg. I wasn't that impressed with him. You know, the ball doesn't pop off his foot very well. And, like, his over-the-50 kicks are not that strong. So I don't know that that's really competition. I just think if there's competition to be had, it's going to be a veteran. Why would you want two young guys that have never done it before? I would hope that if Loop struggles, they bring in a veteran.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation, definitely. And I feel like you know, if you're Baltimore, there are certainly vets still out there, because by the time we were talking about Tucker last season, about, oh, who's still out there, there was nobody out there. You know, everybody had been signed. Everybody else is looking for kickers too. And you're right. I mean, we've seen other teams come to Baltimore often for
Graham Gano
kickers. Yeah. Right. Exactly. So we know Baltimore could be a kicking factory. So Baltimore going out there, looking at other people and other teams, we could maybe see, because some of these guys that are going to get cut, you know, you're right. Teams go into the cut down day with two, three kickers, and then a guy will get cut that had a pretty good preseason, but teams aren't going to hold two kickers on their roster. At least the majority of them aren't. It's pretty rare that happens. So I would think that Baltimore, if they're not as impressed with Loop as they want to be, or Hoyland doesn't really cut it, I think that it's pretty likely that they will get one of those guys in, and it could be a vet. And honestly, I think having the experience in the room would be good for Tyler Loop at the end of the day.
Now, Kevin, there's still two games available Christmas Day, two games available Thanksgiving Day. I would imagine the Ravens are getting one of those. Would agree, disagree? What do you think?
I agree, and I think it'll be Thanksgiving. I mean, three years in a row on Christmas, you know, I'd feel awful for the players and for the staff, and especially if they have to go away again for Christmas. I just, I feel like Thanksgiving is probably the more realistic slot. Now, I'm curious to see if they might try to get that Pittsburgh-Baltimore game back that ended up being played on a Wednesday afternoon back during COVID, where that was going to be that Thanksgiving game, but it just didn't happen because of all of the sickness that was going on and the Ravens having, I think it was 20 people on the reserve COVID list at that point. So I don't know if this will be the year that they try to do that, but I think it makes the most sense for Baltimore to be a Thanksgiving, because I agree. I think that you have to put Baltimore in one of those slots, but I just don't think it's fair to put them on Christmas for the third year in a row. Even though, hey, you know what? Baltimore apparently likes playing on Christmas. They've blown out the teams they've played in the two times they've done them over the last two seasons. So, you know, maybe that's a good omen if they do get put there, but I would probably predict it's Thanksgiving. And I'm, you know what? I'm going to say that it'll be that one of those Ravens Steelers games.
Home game though, right?
Yeah, has to be home for sure.
Yeah. And what we talked about, the one that makes the most sense, you know, what was the two best games of the season last year for the whole NFL? Cincinnati. You know, I could see Thursday night, Thanksgiving night, 8 o'clock, Cincy at the Ravens.
Yeah, I think for the NFL, and I think that with the way the Ravens' schedule worked out, at least for opponents-wise, you know, it's a no-brainer for one of those Bengals games, especially because of the fireworks. And, look, Cincinnati's defense didn't get much better, so I think that we're still going to see some fireworks from Lamar Jackson and company, and hopefully the Ravens' defense can shore things up. They did get better. But I think that also you look at Kansas City and Buffalo as two games that are intriguing to me. Obviously, being the divisional round rematch at Buffalo and then Kansas City being that other team. So I think Baltimore should get the max allotment of primetime games this year.
Kevin, who's going to be the starting left guard and the starting inside linebacker next to Roquan?
I think that Voorhees will win the left guard job. I just think they're going to give him a shot, and I think that honestly he's going to be the one that gets that. And then inside linebacker-wise, I think it will be Trent Simpson, but maybe more so on a per-snap basis, early down basis. I don't really know the organization's trust level right now in him. It doesn't really feel super high, for being honest, based off some of the answers we've gotten this offseason. So I think that it'll be a shorter runway for Trent Simpson to make mistakes this year if it doesn't work out. I feel like maybe Teddy Buchanan gets a shot or Jay Cumwell gets a shot, but I think they might add one more. I feel like they're not done at that position. It feels like Baltimore might add another veteran in that room just to have the insurance there, but they also don't have to commit to two inside linebackers on the field at all times here. You know, they can play dime packages, multiple DBs, you know, putting Hamilton up there. Like, they don't need to play with two inside linebackers every single down, which I think is important when it comes to, they don't need to rely on Trent Simpson to be a 100% snap player.
He's Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today, the Ravens Wire. Schedule comes out tomorrow in totality. Kevin, other than that, what else is happening at the Ravens Wire here? We're still about 3 weeks, well, maybe less than 3 weeks from OTAs here.
Yeah, I know. It's sneaking up on us. You're just trying to figure out ways the Ravens can continue to improve that roster. Feels like maybe that run-stuffing defensive lineman to replace Michael Pierce is one of the bigger holes they have left to fill. But roster's shaping up nicely. We're talking about it over there. And, of course, we will have everything you need over there about the schedule and who the Ravens play, when the Ravens play, and hopefully they get a middle of the schedule bye. No late round byes, no early round byes. Get these guys some rest at the right time.
Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today, Ravens Wire. Kevin, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday.
You know it, guys. Talk soon. Appreciate you.
There's Kevin. We'll come back, whip around. A lot going on world of sports. Capitals, great season. Close to coming to an end.
Yeah, it's close.
You blink.
Getting there.
And it disappears. NBA playoffs. Looks like the Celtics have lost their best player. And the Golden State Warriors, they're up against it. And the Cleveland Cavaliers could be in trouble. It's a lot of crazy stuff going on there. And this day in Orioles history, always good stuff. Why would we talk about a loss?
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
If the Ravens could only extend Lamar Jackson or Kyle Hamilton, who should go first? We'll have some thoughts and want to hear what you guys think about it. Which Orioles have been the biggest underachievers? Mike Bordick will tell us. And ex-GM Jim Bowden will tell us who should be held accountable for the Orioles' failure.
Next on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Memorial Day savings are all out all month long at Jones Beller Hyundai. Save now with a low 1.9% factory financing and with current market conditions, We got a huge selection of price-protected vehicles in stock. I drove by there yesterday. There is a bunch of cars. So ask to see Kevin Brammer, the sales manager. Kevin, he's a Wheeler dealer. He knows how to close a deal. He's going to get you the car that you want at the best price, and you're going to have a great sales experience. Jones, they make it real easy with banks on site for you to get instant credit approval. Now, Kevin, he's going to get you top dollar on your trade, $500 more than CarMax. Visit JonesJunction.com to check out what car truck is right for you. And with every new vehicle comes with Jones for a lifetime, which includes free oil changes, which got mine done last Saturday. And also, Charlie's we got done last Saturday, too, back to back. Thank you, Mike. Free car washes? You know, you get that today. And an engine guaranteed for a lifetime with over 1 million likes and reviews. You too can and you will be a satisfied customer. Jones Bel Air Hyundai, they're part of Jones Junction. They're only 15 minutes from the White Marsh Mall. And there's a Jones Junction tag frame waiting for you, just like me, my wife, Vincent, Charlie, and in a couple months, Rachel.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport,
every game,
everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the Whip Around, Vinny and Haney, 105.7. The Fan NBA Draft Lottery last night on ESPN. Dallas Mavericks had a 1.8% chance of getting said number one pick. They got it. Mm-hmm. Number one pick in the draft goes to Dallas. Nico Harrison took a lot of heat for trading Luka for Anthony Davis. Dallas flamed out. Injuries did them in, including one to Anthony Davis. Now they get Cooper Flagg. And I'm watching what you were talking about before the show. Draft Flagg, trade for Giannis.
Right.
You draft Flagg. Kyrie's coming back from a bad knee injury. He won't be back till All-Star break at least. Anthony Davis, you know, he's playing 50 games for the most part. And Giannis himself, now 30 years old. That's a lot of hope. A bunch of older players, a lot of tread on that tire.
And if you're a GM, Bob, you take the young guy. Just like drafting a quarterback with the first pick.
Well, if he's this like next level number one pick,
yep.
Like last year, Ricochet went to Atlanta, and the Wizards got Sarr, who in my opinion is going to turn out to be the better player. He's been the consensus number one pick since he was in high school. But you take this guy. San Antonio gets the second pick. What do they do there? Remains to be seen. They have De'Aaron Fox. Stephen Castle just won Rookie of the Year. They have Wemby. They got a good nucleus.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Ace Bailey out of Rutgers could be the guy. Philly number three. That could be Dylan Harper. Sounds good. Charlotte, maybe Edgecombe out of Baylor. Jazz fifth pick. Wizards the sixth pick. Derek Queen's going to be there at number six.
Yeah, ESPN had him going to Portland at 11.
That'd be a good place, too.
Yeah.
Portland's a nice ascending young team out there in the Western Conference, so much so that Chauncey Billups got a contract extension in the offseason. But the draft lottery's not fixed, is it? No?
They were supposed to be
picked. What's the coolest draft of them all? All the sports.
NFL.
Right. And what don't they have?
Lottery.
Hello! Enough's enough. Since they leveled out the odds in the NBA back in 19, the team with the worst record hasn't won the number one pick.
Yeah.
And not everything's tanking. Sometimes your team just sucks that bad.
Well, the NHL, Bettman was tired of, you know, because they said every year that it was fixed. You know, so they brought the ping pong balls out on stage and let everybody watch them pick the balls. And still, the New York Islanders, who were 3.5%, they were supposed to be picking 10th, and they get one.
So anyway, Dallas gets the number one pick. Nope, not fixed, I guess. Knicks, 121-113 over Boston. Jalen Brunson at 39, 5 rebounds, 12 assists. Cat and Michael Bridges, both had 23. Big news here, Jason Tatum at 42. Looks like he might have blown his Achilles tendon.
It looked like it watching it on TV, Bob. I mean, because there was no contact or nothing. It was non-contact, goes down, and he knew. So, because he was laying there crying, you know, he knew it was. And they took him off in a wheelchair.
Knicks are up 3-1. See you, Celtics.
Yes.
And New York's been good on the road in the postseason so far. So it looks like Knicks are getting to the conference finals. Last night in the West, T-Wolves beat Golden State 117-110. 17-0 run. Get a big turnaround in that game for the T-Wolves. Julius Randle at 31 points. Ant-Man at 30. Jonathan Kuminga led the way for Golden State with 23. Still minus Steph Curry. Doesn't look like he'll go game five in Minnesota with the T-Wolves up 3-1. Pat Spencer, we talked about yesterday, Baltimore kid, he had two off the bench. For the Golden State Warriors tonight, Indiana looks to close out Cleveland. In Cleveland, up 3-1. Donovan Mitchell questionable with the ankle. And then the all-important game, five. The other Western Conference series, Denver at the Thunder, tied at 2. Winner of this game, in my humble opinion, will win the series. Winner of this game will win game 6. This is going 6 games. Winner of this game wins the series. So the whip around. Stanley Cup playoffs last night. Capitals, brilliant. Exceeded all expectations regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Vinny, I remember you telling us before the year started, they're old, they're geezers, blah, and then he just kind of came out like a rocket ship. Challenge for the President's Cup.
Finished second.
And now here they are up against it because this happened last night in Carolina.
And now it's carried out by Eller. And to the left of Freddie Anderson. Walker back to play it. Sandwiched by a couple of Caps. Now the lead pass for Hall. Moving in on Thompson. He scores!
TNT, Kenny Albert on the call. What the hell was that?
That was the closer, Bob. That made it 4-2. You know, because, let me just start from the beginning. The Caps came out really strong. Again. And McMichael, he had a chance. He had a breakaway. Got stopped. You know, so. And then it was after that, they just got smothered. They can't do anything. They can't move the puck. And the passing was off. They just, you know, they were getting pucks knocked off their stick. They got a shot 37-21. And their power play? Bob, they had a four-minute power play. I think they had one shot in 4 minutes. It was ridiculous. They couldn't get the puck in the offensive end. Their offensive time of possession is pathetic right now. And then goal number two, Logan Thompson, that was a suck goal. You know, he dropped it, you know, and gave up a rebound, and Seth Jarvis knocked it in for the Caps to go down 2-0. Then all of a sudden, I mean, the Caps ain't scoring a lot of goals against Carolina anyhow. So, and, you know, Anderson was playing great. So it was not pretty. I mean, they have not played good. You know, and Brenda, the coach from Carolina, he says, we played good in every game. And they could have won 4-0. It could have been over by now. I mean, the Caps have lucked out. Now they got to go home and they got to find an offense. They got to find a rhythm. They got to get some forechecking and have some offensive, you know, power in the offensive end. I mean, it's like watching it. Man, it's pretty obvious who the better team is.
Carolina up 3-1. Outscored Washington 9-2 in the two games down in Carolina. Also last night, Stanley Cup playoffs out West. Edmonton 3-0 over the Golden Knights. Oilers up 3-1 in that series.
Yep, Oilers. The Kings let them off the hook. Kings could have won it, you know, and the Kings let them off the hook. And last night, Skinner, the goalie for Edmonton, was spectacular. You know, and they got up 3-0 after two, and that was it. I mean, and he shut the door. You know, and it's not even Dreisaitl and McDavid doing it. You know, Kane and Henrique, they score goals. And the goalie, you got a hot goalie. You got a hell of a chance, and that's the Golden Knights kind of look like the Caps right now.
Winnipeg's at Dallas tonight. Dallas up 2-1 in that series.
I told you off air, Bob. I mean, Winnipeg, Hellebuck, the goalie. And, Bob, he's going to win MVP. You know, he's up for the MVP. He's lost 8 straight road games. 8 straight, the goalie has. And they're on the road tonight.
It's 5-7 the Fan. Whip around real quick. This day in Orioles history, it's May 13th, 1983 at Texas. Ken Singleton, sweet swinging. Kenny Singleton went deep twice. John Lowenstein hit a homer. Storm Davis went 7 strong for the win. 8-1 Orioles over the Rangers, 1997 against the A's in Oakland. B.J. Surhoff, 3-for-4 with a homer. four ribbies. Mike Messina goes six strong for his fifth win. Mike Bordick had two hits in that game. And then 2 years ago, Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson went deep. Tyler Wells, seven innings of one hit ball, eight Ks. The Mountain, his 10th save. Oriole shut out the Pirates. 2-0. We'll come back, talk NFL. Chris Boombacha, USA Today. Stick around for that. Funhouse coming up, 11:45, 12 o'clock hour. Got news from the Nats, buy or sell. Rock and Baco, massandsports.com. American League East report at 1:15. And Patrick Royce. We'll talk about the Twins, winners of eight in a row, coming to Baltimore, just looking to keep piling on the Orioles. Cleveland's, among others, was last week. OTA's creeping closer and closer. From USA Today, let's welcome back to the show, Window Nation guest hotline. He's our buddy, Chris Boombacha. Chris, what's up?
Bob, Vitti, what's up, guys? Great to be on, as always.
All right, before we get to the schedule and everything that goes along with that, Aaron Rodgers. We know in Cleveland, Shedeur Sanders looked good at rookie camp. We know in Cincinnati, Joe Burrow's the dude. And obviously here in Baltimore, Lamar Jackson's the guy. What about Aaron Rodgers? What's all the hubbub? When's he going to decide? If any reference, he'll just show up for mandatory minicamp so there's no circus surrounding OTAs and all of that. Are we still assuming, Chris, that Aaron Rodgers, when they kick off the NFL season of 25, will be the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Or are you maybe disagreeing with that assessment?
I will agree for now, because otherwise what the Pittsburgh Steelers did since their season ended in Baltimore back in January is completely inexplicable. How do you, just have the quarterbacks you have on the roster, Mason Rudolph, you draft the guy out of Ohio State. I don't really get it. All signs point to Rodgers winding up there at some point. When that is, you mentioned OTAs or skipping OTAs and going to the mandatory minicamp. I wouldn't even be surprised if that, kind of goes by the wayside too. Rodgers on the McAfee show a few weeks back obviously said he's got something going on in his personal life, I guess. But he was at the Kentucky Derby too, so who knows what's going on. It's Aaron Rodgers, man. I'm not signing him, I'll tell you that. But, if you're Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan and the Pittsburgh Steelers, God bless you. You don't really have much to do. I am interested, though, because maybe now the Saints become a player for this season. That wouldn't surprise me.
Now, Chris, what about with the schedule coming out? Bob and I were kind of thinking that Christmas Day or Thanksgiving Day is a spot for the Ravens, because they're going to get a bunch of national primetime games.
Yeah, I could see them on Christmas again. It seems to be that they're running back similar formulas, right? Like you got the Chiefs on Black Friday for a second straight year, for example. You have the Super Bowl champ Eagles involved. And, yeah, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, they're always going to get a bunch of exclusive standalone. And then sometimes that obviously be in primetime spots. I would totally expect that, whether Thanksgiving or Christmas. Just the numbers, I'll guess Thanksgiving, because we already have a couple we have one Christmas game out. So we'll see. But, yeah, I, as always, Ravens, get your national TV slots ready.
Now, Chris, I was watching a lot of, on Facebook and stuff, a lot of clips from Cleveland's rookie mini camp, and mm-hmm. Shedeur Sanders was on most of them. Because you hear a lot of good things about him. And on one of the radio stations, Bob, the one that you go on, one of the guys came on and says, I expect Shedeur to be the starter by week five.
Oh, Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland.
The fan, baby. Ken Carmen and his boys.
That's who it was.
All right. Yeah, we love that, cross-branding there. But
that's right.
Look, I was on with you guys. I said my piece on Shedeur. I'm glad that he wound up with Stefanski and the Browns. I think it's going to be the right developmental situation for him, and maybe the best one that he really could have out of the pool of teams that were seriously going to, consider taking him, or even, had a path to taking him for that matter. So, I think the reports out of there yesterday were that he was better than Dylan Gabriel, and that wasn't really a stretch to say. I think that Shedeur is positioning himself well, and if he, like he says, if he keeps doing what he's saying, right, putting his head down, putting in the work, not letting whatever happened over draft weekend affect him and how he approaches his rookie season, I wouldn't be shocked if he takes the field at some point.
Now, Chris, an interesting division, and it seems like they're getting a lot of love right now from the NFL, is the NFC North.
Oh, yeah. No, you got a couple good teams there. So, obviously, I think, three playoff teams last season between the Lions, Vikings, and Packers. And then you also have the upstart Bears with Ben Johnson mm-hmm. in his first year, Caleb Williams. They really upgraded that offensive line this offseason. Year two of the Williams to receiver Rome Odunze connection. They got Loveland out of Michigan with the number 10 overall pick, a player that they clearly had rated super high because Penn State's Tyler Warren was slotted to go ahead of him as the first tight end in the first round. But the Bears thought otherwise. So they obviously have a plan for him. Ben Johnson has a plan for him. That's exciting. We know the work that he did with tight ends in Detroit. And, yeah, it's a powerhouse division. We're talking about primetime games and stuff. NFC North is going to be featured prominently and with good reason.
Another one that's getting featured prominently, NFC East. I mean, Philly's getting a ton, you know. And then how do you see that playing out with Dallas, Giants, and Washington?
Well, Commanders are always going to be Commanders are the new darling of the NFL schedule makers, right, because of Jaden Daniels and the team's run to the NFC Championship game last season. You know, young quarterbacks are, the schedule maker's best friend and also a ticket to, standalone exclusive windows. So that's the reason why you see a lot of them. Eagles defending champs, like you mentioned, Cowboys, ratings machine, America's team. They have the branding, they have the legacy, so they're always going to get a lot of big windows as well. And then the Giants, also kind of a similar reason for, just the size of the fan base and the eyeballs that come with it.
Chris Boombacha, USA Today, talking NFL. Chris, last thing for you in the AFC, AFC South in particular, better chance of getting to the playoffs based on current rosters, Colts or Jacksonville?
I'll take Jacksonville just because of the quarterback situation, right? If you get Trevor Lawrence, playing under first-year head coach Liam Cohen and close to, his top form that we saw during that, I think it was the 2022 season, with Doug Peterson, I think that will, set the Jags up for a chance at a division title. And I just don't see how the Colts quarterback situation resolves itself in a suitable fashion to have a better path to the playoffs.
Chris Boombacha, enjoy your schedule release party that I'm sure you're throwing tomorrow night.
Oh, no, we start in the morning, actually, with CBS Morning, and then I'll be waiting for the news from Netflix's up front, and then the big party. So, yeah, three different parties.
Chris, appreciate it. We'll talk
to you
soon.
All right, guys, have a great one.
Yeah, there's Chris Boombacha. We'll come back, reset, take a trip through the funhouse, Nolan McGraw. News from the Nest at noon by yourself, 12:15. Talk Orioles with Rocco Bacco, massinsports.com. Orioles taking on the Twins. Birds go 2-4 on the road trip, which included a three-game sweep at Minnesota. Cade Povich, is he in peril? Or is it just, you got to keep pitching because there's no one else to take your place right now? Weather permitting, of course, tomorrow, 6:35. Then there's a Thursday matinee, 12:35, and then the Nats come to town. So the Orioles trying to get some momentum rolling here as we get into the second half of the month of May. Preakness is coming up this weekend. Post positions were announced yesterday. Only 9 horses in the Preakness field. We'll get into that. Of course, the schedule release for the NFL fully in effect tomorrow. We expect the Ravens to get either Thanksgiving or Christmas. If I'm getting, I'm just guessing. If they play either one, well, if they play Buffalo, it'll be on the road because they play at Buffalo.
Correct.
That would be like the Thursday night, Thanksgiving. If they play Christmas, it'll be home.
I agree.
Can't send them on the road 3 years.
I still think, it would be Buffalo or Cincinnati, Bob, one of the two.
Yep. So we'll see. Or maybe they don't get any of them, and they get
maybe they get the opening Monday nighter.
them playing the Bills on Monday night or Sunday night.
Yes,
would be rematch of the playoff game from last year. Mm-hmm. Remember they opened in Kansas City, rematch of the AFC Championship game last year on a Thursday. But let's bring Nolan McGraw in. Nolan, how are you feeling today?
Feeling pretty good. I'm speaking of schedules, trying to figure out if the Orioles don't play tonight. Or they can't figure out a way to get these three games in here this week. When would they play them? And looking at the Minnesota schedule, there's no obvious lining up of off days or when they come back over to this area, say I don't think they make another trip here to face DC. They face at Philadelphia to end the entire season, so that's at the end of September. But there isn't like a natural break for them to stop on a road trip, fill in for a day. I don't know. This could get interesting depending on what happens.
Well, looking at weather.com, and remember, I'm Bob Haney, not Bob Turk. It looks like there could be a break tomorrow to possibly play a doubleheader. However, if you're the Orioles or the Twins, and Twins go to Milwaukee after they leave here, do you want to play a doubleheader and then have a 12:30 game the next day? I'm guessing
it's either that or lose an off day later in the year. Yeah, I think they'd suck it up for now.
Right.
I would think, Bob, the doubleheader, because the weather break seems to be in the afternoon. You know, so if you play, you know, let's say 12, just a back-to-back, start at noon.
Right.
You know, and you're done at 6, then you got the noon game the next day.
Plus, they're hot. I mean,
you want to play.
Let's play right now. I don't care if it's two games in one day. We're swinging it. We're pitching well.
So
right
we're
now.
Doing a doubleheader tomorrow or Thursday.
Tomorrow,
we're saying
tomorrow.
Yeah, you'd
at
rather
noon.
Do it tomorrow than.
I'm guessing starting around
there.
Noon or 11 o'clock.
Now it gets into the Orioles trying to make some dough.
You got to make it single admission.
Yeah. Do you do? We'll play at 11 or 11:30, and then. Nah, you can't do day night. Then if I'm Minnesota, it's like, we're going to play a doubleheader. Mm-hmm. Let's do it 12, 20 minutes later.
Right.
Run it back. Yeah. And then let's get out
day
of dive.
Then we got to play at noon. And then, or
we know. Are an advanced society, correct? We could figure out ways to squeeze two baseball games into an eight-hour window, I would assume. Assuming, again, they don't play tonight. And let's be honest, it's not looking ideal. For baseball this evening, Oriole Park at Camden Yards.
No, but I mean, how soon do you think they call it?
I'm going to say 3 o'clock.
Well, that's ambitious. Knowing the Orioles.
Oh, you think it's going to be when we get down to
Pickles? I think there might be butts in seats by the time they call it.
Then that would be bogus.
Well, that's their track record.
Well, they do have. Well, they did cancel the Friday game against Toronto a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
With a similar weather forecast. I think that one might have been a little bit worse, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, but that's also easier to reschedule, division
yeah.
game.
But,
I mean, 7 o'clock is 55%, 8 o'clock is 65%, then 65%, 65%, 65%, you know. So, I mean, there's no window. When you look at the radar, it's all purple.
Yeah, so we'll see. Yeah. That's way beyond our pay grade, but either way, if they're playing BBT tonight, at 6:30 or 5:30 rather, getting ready for the 6:35 game. Povich against Woods Richardson, me, Ryan Ripken, and Nolan McGraw.
We're setting up outside, right?
No. Well, I just do what I'm told.
I brought my raincoat.
Like most morons. Hey, we got time for a fun house. You want to wait?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Quick Draw's Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, someone getting in here on the grading. We're grading some Orioles players a little bit earlier. This texter says, Cedric Mullins gets an A- for me. I know recently he's been cold with his bat, but I had very low expectations for him coming into the season after the slow start last year. He's exceeded all of that big time. The power is back for him. Defense, always a strength. And you can't forget, he was a legit leadoff option for them to begin the year when Gunner wasn't healthy.
Yep. A-. Okay, that's ambitious based on May so far. And he's still got another half a month to turn that around. But, all right. That's not an unacceptable grade. We were all B, so you know,
the defense plays every night,
whether they're getting blown out or not.
And then you made a good.
If he had Laureano's arm, he'd win Gold Gloves.
Oh, yeah.
You
know they'd already paid him.
Yeah,
I would hope.
Yeah. And then the other thing too, the base stealing. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see some more of that.
I would like him. You know, if you're in a 0 for 20, but you got great speed.
Let's see, this one here says, everyone complained about the Orioles not signing anyone to long-term deals, but Now it appears this O'Neill contract is definitely going the distance. I want more spending in free agency as much as anyone. But what have we seen that leads you to believe that Elias can actually get appropriate value deals done? He might end up shelling out the $180 million-plus for a pitcher, but I can guarantee you it won't be for the right player.
Well, the O'Neill deal, we'll talk about that. It's a high reward, medium risk. I mean, based on today's salaries, it's not an astronomical figure. Not to sneeze at $60 million, which you could have had Anthony Santander for a year ago or let back in February. But if he stays healthy, and that's always a huge if, he can be productive for you. Again, as we talked about in the first segment, you don't think Tyler O'Neill looks at his stats and goes, man, I suck.
Yeah.
And I'm not earning my money right now, and I'm probably feeling the heat from a lot of the fan base. And $180 million on a pitcher, I'm always thumbs down on that, man. That's just me.
Nolan, free agents, pay your own. You got a bunch of guys that are coming up, young guys and everything. You know.
What do you do with Eflin then? We'll talk to Rakabako about this. Say he keeps dealing, the Orioles stay in contention or get in contention.
Yeah, you know what you got.
Yeah, but do you extend him?
Because they want a longer deal
than
what you
want. If they fall out of contention, then you trade him.
Yeah.
Well, it's starting to look like it's only going to be a not contention at this point.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, the Twins, we thought were the manager was getting same situations the Orioles are in. Now they won eight in a row, and they're, back off the hot seat.
At least he's healthy. Eflin's out there.
Yeah.
So, the fact that he came right back, looked like his usual self. I mean, because I was a little concerned that there might be a little rust to shake off for a start or two, and they just can't afford that right now. So, hey, the going's good. We'll keep it good.
Think you get anything for Charlie Morton right now?
Maybe a coupon?
From the Nest coming up next. We'll talk more about this possible NFL schedule relating to the Ravens. Buy or sell 12:15. Rakabako. Talk about the Orioles with him. MassinSports.com. NFL lunch at 1 o'clock. American League East report at 1:15. Only two games in the division. One featured a pretty significant injury for the team right now in first place in said division. And we'll talk about those red-hot Twins with Patrick Roycey from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. They won eight in a row, as we've talked about many times. Rocco Baldelli looked like a hot seat guy. Now he's back in the thick of things and maybe, outside of the White Sox, the toughest division in baseball.